I want to thank all of you for being here on another beautiful morning. We do have some sick out today, so we need to keep them in our prayers. And for the ones that are here, thank you for coming. Thank you so very much. You might want to go ahead, if you would, and turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Now, one of the largest manufacturers of athletic shoes in the world used to have an ad slogan that said, "Just do it." Remember that slogan? Just do it. I kind of like for us to keep that in mind as we go through the lesson this morning. We will begin by turning to Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. Here's what we find. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. It was God in the beginning created heaven and earth, according to Genesis 1:1. It was God who said, "Let there be light," and the darkness rolled back. It was God who spoke with the sun, spoke when the sun, the moon, and the stars filled the heavens, as we find in verse 16 of Genesis 1. Again, it was God who spoke into existence the plants that spring from the earth, the fish that fill the water, and the birds that fill the sky. And it was God who said in verse 26 of Genesis 1, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Yes, God did all of that. And the Lord Jesus was there, actively involved in it. Turn to John chapter 1, if you would. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things come into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. If you would, look at verse 14. And the world became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Now you may remember when God said, "Let us make man in our image," the Son was included in us and the hour. The Son was included in the us and the hour. He was there, brethren. Indeed, Colossians 1 verses 15 through 17 says, "And He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." Brethren and friends, when God speaks, all creation listens to His voice. He is the Creator, and He speaks to us today through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew, the 17th chapter with me. In Matthew, the 17th chapter, here we read of an incredibly, truly incredibly event. Jesus went up into the mountain with Peter, James, and John. And while He was there, verses 2 and 3 tell us that Jesus, verse 2, "And He was transfigured before them, and His face was shone like the sun, and His garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them." And when Peter suggested to building three tabernacles to honor Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, God spoke from heaven, and this is what He said in verse 5. "This is My beloved Son, and with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." The message was clear, brethren. Listen to Him. They had been governed by the teaching of Moses and the prophets under the Old Testament, but a change was going to take place. Jesus was to be God's spokesman. Remember in these last days that we read about, has spoken to us by His Son. God says, listen to Him. Listen to Him. Look at Matthew, the 28th chapter. Chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Now after Jesus' death on the cross, Jesus sent His apostles into all the world to preach the gospel. He told them in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, He says, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Earlier, Jesus had told His apostles, He that heareth you heareth Me, and he that despiseth you despiseth Me, and he that despiseth Me despises the one that sent Me. Jesus came from the Father to speak the words of God. Not only was Jesus involved in the creation, He is still upholding all things by the Word of God. There is power in the Word of God, brethren, and it is through Jesus that we hear that Word. Indeed, there is power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. That's what Paul told the Romans in Romans 1:16. The power of God unto salvation. Brethren and friends, when God has spoken, His Word is true. What He says will surely come to pass because, as Hebrews 6:18 tells us, it is impossible for God to lie. Because Jesus is now our spokesman, when Jesus speaks, that's it. The matter's closed. It's over. That's it. His words can never be altered or changed in any way by the puny efforts of man. We cannot just ignore or break the Lord's will, and if we try, we only break ourselves. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but My words shall not pass away. Jesus told the Jews in John 8:45, He says, I tell you the truth. When Jesus spoke of God, He was speaking of what He knew to be absolutely certain. After all, Jesus said, I and the Father are one in John 10:30. When our Lord spoke of the will of God, He spoke with complete accuracy. In John 6 and verse 38, He said, for I have come down from heaven not to do My will, but the will of Him who sent Me. Oh, brethren and friends, when God spoke through the prophets of old, it was always accurate. How much more assurance can we have when He speaks through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ? When the apostles went forth to preach, as Jesus had instructed them to do, the gospel of Christ covered the world, accomplishing that which God has purposed. From the very first utterance of the prophecy about Jesus in Genesis 3:15 to the final consummation of all the promises in Him, the purposes of God move forward according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what Paul said to the Ephesians in Ephesians 3:11. Brethren and friends, when Jesus speaks, it is eternal truth. It was by the grace of God that Jesus came into the world and sacrificed Himself on the cross for our sins. That's why we took the Lord's Supper this morning in remembrance of Him. Titus 2:11 tells us, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. The Lord has spoken specifically as to what man must do to receive salvation. And again, the voice of the Lord Jesus is irrevocable. The Lord gives us salvation. He makes it available to us, but He also gives conditions under which we can receive it. There are conditions which we can receive eternal salvation. Turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, please. We cannot, brethren, we cannot and we must not place ourselves against the voice of Jesus and still obtain the promise of salvation. In John 12, verses 47 through 49, and if anyone hears My sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Listen now in verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me commandment what to say and what to speak. The reason Jesus left heaven and came to earth was to provide the means of salvation for all mankind, brethren. The gospel reveals that good news. Those who try to discount the words of Jesus or change them in any way will face those very words when they stand before the Lord in judgment. Now I want to read two or three passages, familiar passages together. First, turn to John 3:16. Probably the most quoted passage in the Bible. John 3:16. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life." That he said in John 3:16. Now if you would, look with me at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Jesus also said in Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, "Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven." Listen now. "But whoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." Now I want to turn to one more, Mark 16:16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Keep in mind, brethren, this is our Lord Jesus speaking. This is not Jerry Shaw. This is our Lord and Savior, Savior Jesus Christ. As we turn to Mark 16:16, we find Jesus saying, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." What did Jesus just say? What did he just say? He said, those who believe in him and are baptized will be saved, but those who do not shall be condemned. Is that hard to understand? The point must be made that we must not try to choose between those sayings of the Lord, which ones we accept and which ones we don't. Which ones are truly essential and which ones are not? We're not to do that. We're just to follow. We must accept all of them as it is written. Jesus never promised salvation without faith, but he also never promised salvation without baptism. Jesus never promised salvation for those who refuse to confess him, and he never promised salvation for those who refuse to repent. Look at Romans chapter 6 with me. Please. My friends, Jesus went to the cross in order to bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Now that's what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. And now Paul shows us the importance of that death in Romans 6 verses 3 and 4. He wrote, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." When people are led by the word of the Lord to believe in him, they are told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. We read that in Acts 2 and verse 38. That is the word of the Lord Jesus. Don't argue with it. Accept it. Just accept it. He is the Lord. Don't argue with him. And I've asked you many times, don't take my word. Don't take any man's word. Only the word of God, the Bible. So friends and brethren, when the Lord speaks, what shall be our response? Jesus put it simply when he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments in John 14:15. There was a time when Jesus asked, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? If we really believe in him to be our Lord and our Savior, we will do what he says, won't we? There'll be no quibble, there'll be no argument, there'll be no hesitation. And as the ad says, just do it. Just do it. Over and over, the Lord shows us that we must submit to him in order to be saved. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 5:9 that Jesus became the author of eternal salvation unto all who obey him. Obedience. But no such promises are made to those who will not obey him. Staying in Romans 6, if you would. The New Testament shows repeatedly the need to obey. Romans 6:17-18. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. When did they become free from sin, brethren? When did they come free from sin? When they obeyed. When they obeyed. Again, there's that word obey. Obedience. 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 Turn to James 1, if you would. James 1. James 1, and we'll look at verses 21 and 22. James wrote, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, listen now, which is able to save your souls, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Now let's turn to 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1:22. The Apostle Peter said, since you have in obedience, there's that word obedience, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls. And again in 1 John 2:3, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. There are just no blessings promised in the gospel unto a person unless he does what the Lord says. That is so important. That is so important. I want to repeat that. There are just no blessings promised in the gospel unto a person unless he does what the Lord says. So why do folks want to fuss about the need to believe? Why do some want to deny the necessity of repentance or confession? And why do the majority of even religious-minded people want to deny that baptism is eternal to salvation? I cannot understand it. When people really want the salvation which Jesus died to give, when they are really ready to make Jesus their Lord and their Savior, you know what? They don't argue. They don't quibble. They just do it. And friend, it is the Lord's purpose in your creation that you hear his word and you glorify God in your obedience to it. Your happiness now and forever depends upon your submission to Jesus Christ. Think about it. Your happiness now and forever depends upon your obedience to Jesus Christ. Listen to him. Believe him. And yield yourself to him. Don't argue. Don't quibble. Just do it. Turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes, last passage. Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7. Now we know that the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 9:27, he said, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. In Ecclesiastes 7:1-4, the preacher said, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is the house of mirth. The day of death is filled with mourning. The wise will not turn into a house of feasting and mirth. Wisdom is found in those who know and understand that this is the end of all men. At your funeral, will we talk about your relationship with God? Will men talk about how you were like Christ? Will they mention your conversion to Him? Will they say that you believed in Him, confessed Him, repented of your sins, and were baptized for the remission of those sins? Will they say that? Will they say that you were the one who walked in light as he was in the light? Will they say these things about you? When it comes to your relationship with God, will they mention how you loved Him and kept His commandments? Will they talk of how you loved your neighbors and how you served your fellow man? Could they say you were raw, or were growing in all areas of faith? Would they mention your kind words, your purity, the evidence of the fruits of the Spirit? What about your relationship with your family? In terms of your marriage, will they say as a husband, you was the spiritual leader of the family? Are you like Joshua, leading your family in devotion to God? For wives, will they talk about your meek and quiet spirit like the virtuous woman of Proverbs? What about parents? Will it be said that you did everything in your power to lead your children to Christ? What will be said about your sense of values? What about your priorities? And when death comes, most of what we consider important in this life will no longer matter. Won't matter. Won't matter to a hill of beans. For instance, when and where you were born will not matter. How many years you were up on this earth will be of little importance. Your wealth upon the earth will no longer matter. Remember the rich man in Luke 16 woke up in torment. He would have gladly given all his wealth for just one drop of water to cool his tongue. He would have given everything for that. He would have given all his riches for just one moment to go back and talk to his brothers about how horrible this place hell is. What will it matter? What will it matter if you're laid out in a gold casket? With hundreds of flowers, rooms full of flowers, thousands and thousands in attendance, television, newspaper, and many speakers and so on. What will it matter if your soul is in torment, screaming for help and screaming for relief? The only thing that matters, brethren and friends, is our relationship to Christ. Death is coming upon each of us. We may think we've got plenty of time. We see the obituary column in the paper. We watch a funeral procession pass by. We attend the funeral of a friend or a loved one. So why do we insist on thinking, not me? David said, but there is a step between men and death in 1 Samuel 20 and verse 3. This is true of all mankind. James 4:14 says that our life is but a vapor. Our life is like a misty fog in the morning that is soon burned off by the rays of the sun. Our funeral can be a time of joy. Christians know that we do not sorrow as others who have no hope. And if you have no hope, you're not a faithful Christian. And if you're not a Christian, I ask you, why not? Why are you not a Christian? Why don't you become a Christian right now? Think about it. Jesus has already done the hard part. He did the hard part for us. All you have to do if you're not a Christian is walk down this aisle when we sing the invitation song, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Then you'll rise from that watery grave a new creature, born again. Maybe you're an unfaithful Christian. You can take care of that this morning by coming forward and let us know that you have repented, and let us pray with you and pray for you. If we can help anybody in any way, please let us know. Please give us a chance to help you. Come forward now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.